Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and want to give a special thanks to the Better World Club. It's a green alternative to AAA. Want to thank them for sponsoring our program this summer, and sometimes you need a little extra help in the summer when it's kind of in between advertising seasons. So thank you so much to Better World Club, one of those making Eco Talk possible this week. Go to ecotalk.net, our website, for a link to Better World Club and to learn about all it has to offer, which is even more than just changing your tire. It's a roadside service, but they have a lot of travel and insurance services as well. I highly recommend you check it out and even recommend you switch over. That's what I'm doing. We've been members of AAA. They do a fine job, but if you read a little bit between the lines and dig a little deeper, you'll find out why Better World Club is truly a better option. I want to say just a couple of words about my favorite topic, An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's movie. Just this week, the nation's top climate scientists are giving that film 5 stars for accuracy. And that's because they were contacted by the Associated Press. More than 100 top climate researchers via email and phone asked for their opinion. Many said they hadn't seen the movie yet. Either it hasn't come out where they live or they've just been too busy doing all their research to see it. But those who have seen it had the same general impression. Gore conveyed the science correctly. The world is getting hotter. It's a man-made catastrophe in the making caused by the burning of fossil fuels. That, according to William Schlesinger, dean of the Nicholas School of Environment and Energy Sciences at Duke University. He says Gore got all the important material and got it right. He said there are a lot of details that could have been wrong. They were not. And Al Gore's reaction to that good review was not surprising because I took a lot of care to make sure the science was right. Well, how often do you hear good environmental news? We try to bring you some when we have it. It appears that more people are ditching their cars and hopping on bicycles. For instance, in Portland, Oregon, that was voted most bike-friendly city. The number of cyclists has tripled over the last decade. What's more encouraging is that the trend seems to apply even in places that are notoriously unfriendly to cyclists. As part of our ongoing partnership with the NRDC, Daniel Heinerfeld checked out why ever more residents of L.A., the car commuting capital of this country, are opting to get around by bike.
Los Angeles should have become a cycling mecca long ago. The weather is warm and dry year-round. The streets are wide. And yet, until recently, about the only people cycling to work here were those who couldn't afford cars. But that's changing. Every month, LA looks just a little bit more like Amsterdam, with people on bikes riding to work in business attire or hauling organic groceries in oversized saddlebags. Given the lack of bike lanes and the prevalence of potholes and oblivious drivers, you have to wonder why. I asked a recent bike convert, Andy Bowers, why he made the switch from 4 wheels to 2.
Well, I had a job where I needed a car. I was a daily reporter, and I could have to go 90 miles on a moment's notice. And bicycling, while it's great, is not ideal for that. But once I got a job where I was mostly desk-bound, I realized that I could bike, and what was I waiting for? The price of gas hit more than $3. My stomach hit more than 20 pounds overweight, and I said, aha, it's time.
With LA's ever-worsening traffic and parking problems, some people realize it's faster to pedal than to drive. Andy, who's written an article about LA bike commuting for Slate magazine, says the key advantage of cycling is flexibility.
The wonderful thing about biking is that you're sort of half a car, half a pedestrian, and you can be either one depending on what the situation calls for. And you can do it quite legally. But If I need to just zoom past a big line of cars, I get on the sidewalk, which is legal in Los Angeles as long as you yield to pedestrians. If I need to go on across a crosswalk, I get off the bike and walk the bike across. Otherwise, I can just go on quiet side streets. And it actually has made this huge, impersonal, smog-choked city seem smaller and friendlier to me.
That's a common sentiment among LA bike commuters. But cycling here isn't always warm and friendly. Just ask Scott Singh. He regularly pedals 60 miles a day to and from work. I caught up with Scott in the middle of his bike commute as he was buying groceries at the Santa Monica Farmers Market.
I find the more affluent the neighborhood I am, actually the more danger I'm in. And I believe it has to do not only with the type of cars people are driving, but the drivers themselves.
What is it about those affluent drivers?
I think they have more sense of entitlement to the road. I also think they're less used to seeing people commuting on bikes like you would find in your less affluent communities. And you do need to be careful out there. So it's not something that's for everyone.
Have you had any serious mishaps?
Oh, I've had a tire iron thrown at me from a moving car. I've had a liter bottle of water thrown at me from a moving car, hit me in the back of the head. So, and these are people, it's just completely random and without provocation.
And yet you stick with it. Why is that?
It's sort of become a lifestyle for me. It's beyond the savings of gas. I actually find it saves me time. I get exercise, keeps me healthy, and it's most of all, it's great for the environment. I'm not polluting. It's just become part of my lifestyle.
Bicycling has become part of my lifestyle, too. And I'll admit that as a gearhead, a small part of the attraction is the new toys. Head and tail lights, saddlebags, a socket set and a pump. Andy Bowers says he puts safety first, so he's invested his gas savings in one of those neon yellow cycling jackets.
I'm not worried about looking like a dork, as my wife will confirm to you, but I always wear the brightest clothing I can. If someone hits me someday, it's not going to be because they didn't see me.
After talking with Andy for a while about all the benefits of cycling, I asked him why there weren't even more people ditching their cars.
I think people think it's more trouble than it actually is. I mean, for me, the time I spend on my bicycle, it's not a longer commute, it's a shorter workout. I mean, how American is that, that you would drive your SUV to a gym to use a machine that uses electricity to simulate a bicycle when you could just ride your bicycle? So it takes a little bit of different thinking and a bit of breaking habits, but I think that Americans could be persuaded, and more and more are being persuaded as the price of gas goes up, to at least give it a try.
For EcoTalk and NRDC, this is Daniel Heinerfeld in Los Angeles.